ESPN 92.3, the Valley's sports leader. It is 7 till 4. It's Monday. You're with the Haas. Got a lot of things coming up. Of course, Steve Post and the Motor Racing Network at 4:45 as we get ready for the 2012 Chase for the Sprint Cup in NASCAR. A lot of other things in between there. But right now, we welcome first time to the show, Neil Coulong, who is the editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. And we appreciate you coming in so much. We appreciate your time, Neil. Thank you.
Oh, it's great to be here. I appreciate you having me.
I was talking to a couple of the guys in the office, all huge Steeler fans, and everybody said this is the best well-researched, well-written articles and that kind of thing. So congratulations on that. I want to start off with that. There seemed to be almost, and you commented on this on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, that there seemed to be almost two separate game plans, first half and second half, wasn't there?
Yeah, there definitely was. I went back and counted up the play calls that offensive coordinator Todd Haley had put together, and he really wanted to establish the run early in the game, which I think was probably the right philosophy for the defense that they were playing, or at least the defense that they thought they were going to be playing. I think that the split was something to be like 53-54% run early, and I think their first six plays were running plays, or the first six non-third down plays. They definitely wanted to establish Redmond and Dwyer in there. They wanted to get their offensive line in some tempo, and I don't think that was necessarily the wrong decision. And I do think at the end of the game, a bit of their decision to throw the ball a little bit more was influenced probably more in the situation that they were in and the fact that they had lost two offensive linemen during the game. They were struggling to run the ball, whoever was in there, though, so it's definitely something they're going to want to work on.
Peyton Manning pretty much answered every question that was out there as to whether he was going to be able to come back. Is he as strong as he was? Does he have the arm speed that he did, you know, 5-7 years ago? No, but he's certainly not a slouch. He came into the game. Once they let him go to the no-huddle offense, it seemed to be really confusing the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I think confusion was one thing. I mean, it was really more like the defense was showing their intention kind of the way that they do and in a hope to kind of confuse the quarterback a little bit, but it was obvious that Peyton Manning knew exactly what they were doing every time that they did it. So if you had, say, Troy Polamalu coming up to the line showing, you know, blitz or one side or the other, Manning would point at him, Manning would slide a receiver, a tight end over to make sure that he was blocked. And it was like it just kind of died after that. You know, there really wasn't any kind of adjustment that the Steelers were making to counter that. And part of the trickery with a no-huddle offense is you don't really have a whole lot of time to make another adjustment on top of the offense adjustment. So that was certainly, you know, confusing in that sense, but I'd almost just say, you know, it wore the Steelers out mentally more than anything. It looked like after a bit, it was like they didn't really know what to do.
You brought up Troy Polamalu, and that's a really good point. The fact that he, you know, when he was up close to the line, they would point somebody out. You talked about that, and he was back, they would run the ball. Yes, most teams are going to spy on Polamalu, but without Ryan Clark in there, without James Harrison in there, it also made it a lot easier for Peyton Manning, didn't it?
Yeah, certainly, and I think that was really the telling point of the game. What was interesting to me was the fact that the Steelers really didn't seem to show any confidence in just leaving Ryan Mundy back in one deep coverage, which is something that they'll do with Ryan Clark fairly often in their regular defense. The fact that they didn't, and the fact that if Polamalu wasn't going into the line of scrimmage, he automatically went back, and they took on a cover two shell, I think was really telling it to the point where I think Manning was really waiting to get that one deep coverage with Mundy back there if Polamalu was going to be around the line of scrimmage. And I think the Steelers sensed that that's what he was trying to do. So if Polamalu was discovered, so to speak, he would drop back into that deep zone just to take away the big play. And that's not, you know, atypical of a Dick LeBeau defense. They do that pretty regularly. The one thing they want to do is stop big plays. And to Peyton Manning's credit, he really didn't have big plays, you know, as far as throwing the ball through the air. I mean, Demaryius Thomas had the big, you know, catch and run, but they really didn't attack deep very often. And it takes a special quarterback to complete 76% of your passes throughout a game and not get, you know, caught once. And that really is the trademark of LeBeau's defense. And the fact that he was able to, you know, basically just march up and down the field at will, it's really something special to watch if you look at it objectively. I mean, he was really on the money. I mean, physically, you had alluded to this earlier, I didn't see a very tight spiral. I don't think the ball was coming out of his hand as quickly as it used to, but he was right on the money with everything. That's really hard to stop.
All right. Now, there were positives for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're not going to say that there were, you know, when, you have to take care of your dog again there, Neil?
Yeah, he just kind of break for us, but I got him now. Ralph.
What's his name?
Ogie.
Ogie, all
Ogie
right.
Oglethorpe.
Oh, the days of Slapshot.
Oh, yeah, the classic.
What a great movie that is. And there's a lot of
my wife. She was the one who came up with that, too. That wasn't even me.
Nicely played. You chose well, my young friend. All right, but positives for the Steelers. It certainly looked like the offensive line played a little better than what might have been expected.
Yeah, you know, I think the offensive line definitely had issues. You know, it wasn't great. Nobody's going to confuse that with, you know, the Hogs from the Redskins.
No.
It was, you know, it strikes and gutters, I think, is probably the best way to put it. I mean, there are some things that they could definitely improve on, but considering they only had five of them, there were no backups, you have to kind of give credit to a guy like Mike Adams who, you know, I savaged him on the website. I don't know how many times the way that he played in the preseason. And I was, you know, more than a little nervous when I saw him go in there for Marcus Gilbert, but I thought he did pretty all right, you know, considering the circumstance and what they needed to do. He didn't do too badly of a job. I think it's not the best point for them to go with, but they can run the ball better than what they did, and they will. I think Isaac Redman might still be nursing an injury or two. I didn't see him having the same type of explosion that he usually has. So I definitely think they have some room to improve in that area, and it wasn't really all that bad.
We're talking with Neil Coulong, the editor from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Injury report from the Steelers as they get ready for a week of preparation to take on the Jets.
You're going to want to pay attention to Marcus Gilbert's status. I've heard that it's a hyperextended knee, and I think that's probably something Tomlin will confirm tomorrow, in which case you're probably not going to see him on Sunday, so it will be Mike Adams' first start. He'll be the right tackle going into next week. I really don't know about Ramon Foster. I mean, eyes are kind of tricky things. You know, you really need them, and they're kind of sensitive. So depending on exactly what happened, and it could just be as simple as, you know, he got poked in the eye, just needs a day or two, or it could be, you know, a bit more severe than that. But if your eye isn't 100%, you probably don't want to be out in a football field. If he doesn't go, it'll be Doug Legursky again. I think that'll probably bring up the rookie Kelvin Beachum. He would probably dress for that game as well. And who knows? I mean, maybe there's a move coming this week still. I mean, already you're really thin along the offensive line. So I think it's something they're going to need to address to see what they have in terms of depth.
All right. Now, before I let you go, and thank you so much for coming on, and we look forward to being able to talk to you every week. But I do have to, have one little bone to pick with you. What is the matter with you? Why didn't you time things out better? You are anticipating the birth of your first child. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
That's going to come right in the middle of the playoffs. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, you know, I'd be lying if I told you it was planned. Let's put it that way. If it was, it probably wouldn't be around late January or early February. But you know, the thing is, too, my wife has been hankering to name our first son Ben. And I've always kind of wanted to avoid that just because, you know, I'd have to hear it from everybody all the time. You name your kid after a Steelers player. I don't want my kid to have to live up to that. So I never wanted to, but now she's getting after me about that. Well, if the Steelers are making it that far, you know, and Ben's playing well, you know what, we're going to have to name him if it is a son. And I'm trying to avoid that as best I can. So I can assure you it wasn't intentional.
Well, I'll tell you what, she's one for one on the Oglethorpe thing. So you might want to go with what her suggestions are.
Yeah, I do better when I listen to her, that's for sure.
I know that feeling, believe me. Neil Coulong, editor of the website BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Thank you so much. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you.
All right. That's Neil Coulong. We appreciate his time here on ESPN 92.3, the Valley Sports Leader.